I just talked to our good mutual buddy, Matt, and apparently he hasn't listened to the podcast once because he's already recommending titles for the podcast, which I wanted to say, like, no, we titled it, bro, but he said we should call it The Witty and the Pretty, and I asked him this. I want to ask you this. Which one do you think you are?
Oh, I was going to ask, is he not going to mention you in the title? Will, this is an important episode.
It's not.
You know why?
Yes.
Why?
It's episode 10.
Double digits, bro.
Is it episode 10? Is this going to be 10?
I don't know. There's no way of knowing that.
But. I don't know. What if it doesn't turn out good and we just scrap it? We've scrapped other ones.
we have scrapped some episodes.
We've had some episodes, guys, that just did not work out.
No, I'm really excited because, one, I think we're getting a little better at this, and two, I think this episode might be our best one. And if it's not, the next episode we're planning to record I think could also end up being our best one.
It's a lot of pressure to put on me at this time of the morning.
Yeah, Will, but you thrive under pressure.
I don't
clutch money.
No, I sure don't. Today we're talking about finishing stuff.
Yeah, you're right about that. We are talking about finishing stuff, and particularly we're going to talk about why finishing stuff is actually really difficult, but we're going to talk about a process that we've learned over the years that helps you get through it and finish something and call it done and move on with your life.
I think this is a really important topic, and I'm really glad we're talking about this because I feel like I need to preach this to myself as much as everybody else.
Yeah.
So I think that I'm one of those guys that has a lot of ideas. I get really passionate about stuff at times. I want to do a million things yesterday, and hardly any of them ever get done.
Well, part of the challenge of being a creative is you like creating stuff.
Yes.
You know, so you create ideas, you create like hundreds of ideas. But then by the time an idea has existed for a while, it doesn't feel creative anymore because you've already created it. And you just want to create new stuff. And so you get bored of stuff or you lose faith in it. And then you kind of, it's like you cheat on your idea with another new, more exciting, sexy idea. But then that idea becomes lame and you don't finish that one either.
I want to challenge creatives right now and say, if you would call yourself a creative, to just check your output.
Yeah.
And maybe ask yourself, how much have I put out there that's creative? How many pieces of work can I point to and say, I did this, it's done, it's in the can, and I've moved on to do other things? Because I feel like it's a really, I mean, last year is a great example for us.
Yeah.
Output was pretty low.
Yeah.
We made a short film, but we didn't put it out.
Nope.
We didn't do anything with it. We had a good year of working on our craft, which is good. There are seasons for that. We had a lot to learn last year in terms of storytelling. I think we've gotten a lot better at it. But in terms of output, we had a season where there was just none.
Yeah.
And no one heard from us. So I'm really excited about this year because the output's been insane.
Yeah, it really
has. We've had blogs and podcasts and the short film came out and we're working on
A book. We can say that.
Yeah, we can talk about that now. We've kind of kept it under wraps for so long. But we've done a lot. And I think as a creative, it feels good to have a good output and be able to point to things that you've worked on.
I totally agree. And I mean, as you started talking about that point, I was like immediately convicted about it because I was like, oh, but we haven't really put out much stuff lately. The truth is we have finished stuff. It just hasn't gone live.
Yeah.
But I think you and I are both closer to perfectionists than not. And it's harder for us, like these podcasts, especially at the beginning, were hard for us to put out because they're not perfect.
Yeah.
And they're not super refined, but they're what we are able to do with the size of our team and the amount of time we have. And it's like, it does feel good to every week say,
yep,
there's a new podcast out, you can listen to it, and we have finished something.
Totally.
The other thing off that point that I was thinking of is you said check your output level. I would say check your input-output ratio.
Ooh, math.
don't need to bring too much math into it, but think about how much TV and movies and articles you read, watch, listen to versus how much stuff you actually make. And it, this was just a thought I had recently. I watched a lot of TV and movies this past weekend because I was sick. And I just realized, man, I've just ingested like 10 to 12 hours this weekend of like media. Mm. But how much have I actually written or filmed or recorded?
Sure.
And a lot of times I think we think, well, if I just had a little more inspiration, I could make something. The truth is, like, we are overloaded on inspiration. We're overloaded on teaching materials and learning materials. And the truth is, we just need to go get out there and do something and finish it and put it out there and move on.
Totally.
So let's talk about how to do that.
Yeah, let's start.
What's the first step to finishing, Will?
Start. I just said it. The first step is to start finishing, I guess. I mean, having the goal in mind of, I want to create this, I am going to begin doing that. I'm going to begin the process of doing that. I think that for creatives, especially filmmakers, for some reason, we talk about movie ideas, TV show concepts, short films, web series. We talk about doing so many different things, but we never do them. And I think it's because, you know, writing a script is a weird middle ground because you're working on the thing that like isn't the final thing. And it's hard to get really passionate about doing that when you haven't started creating the final thing. Mm-hmm. But you need to write. You need to begin laying the groundwork for doing stuff and just stop talking about it.
It's taking it from the idea phase to the in-process phase. Because when it's just an idea in your head, it seems great. And if you let it stay there, it will stay great. But it's kind of like dating someone, like that unattainable woman or whatever. You think, man, it'd be so great to date her. But then once you start dating somebody, you see all their flaws and it's like ruined this image of perfection you had of the person.
Michael, you haven't dated anyone since college.
Hey, I've been there, man. I'm just saying in general, single people tend to have a crush on somebody and they think if I was dating them, they'd be perfect.
Yeah.
But the truth is nobody's perfect and no artistic idea is perfect once you actually start working on it. But it's necessary to discover the flaws and kind of start refining those things, or you have no chance of ever actually doing it.
Yeah, I think it sounds right to me to say that the first step is to put that idea down on paper. But I think an even better idea of a first step is decide what time every day you are going to commit to that project.
Mm.
Carve out something in your day that you know you're going to be able to work on it. And I think that this is a problem that I've talked with a lot of creatives about is, well, I just don't have any time. Like, I have no time to work on the thing that I'm really passionate about. Yeah. But if you look at the 24 hours you have every day, you'll find that you do have more time than you think.
If you're not spending time on it, you're either not passionate or you are terribly mismanaging your time. What do you mean you don't have time to spend on the thing that you're passionate about?
I think you can find 2 hours out of your day.
Yeah.
To work on the thing that you're passionate about. Maybe you do have to go to bed a little bit later. Maybe you have to cut down your workout time, or you have to cut out other small things in your life. I mean, obviously, if you're married or you have a family or kids, like those are the most important. You need to be spending time with those. But you need to find out, like, where else in my day am I wasting time or just mismanaging it? And then you need to put 2 hours a day into it.
And it's kind of like, especially if you can put a time on your calendar, carve out a time and place. It's like going to the gym. Like, once you get to the gym, I think we've said this on the podcast before. Once you get to the place or the spot on your calendar you've reserved for it, what else are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know? So if you set it aside, it's kind of inevitable that you will make some kind of progress.
Yeah. Let's go to the next step.
The next step is make an outline or skeleton version. Make the most like bare bones version of it. If you were writing a script, this would be make the initial outline. If you're doing a painting, it might be like do a pencil sketch.
Yeah.
You know, if you're doing a photograph, it's like make a mood board of inspiration you're trying to capture, something like that. I don't know how photography works.
Yeah. I think the tough thing about this is once you start putting the pen to paper and you start writing down your idea, you start to realize how hard it is and how much more difficult it is than when you first thought of it. And the creative side that gets you so just jazzed about the idea starts to seem really difficult because you're looking at the practicality of doing it. And I think that there is a weird line to balance there between, yes, this is hard, but I can see it, and I can see the steps ahead that are going to make this come to fruition, versus I'm hitting a lot of roadblocks. I'm hitting a lot of warning signs that maybe this isn't a good idea. And you kind of have to know when it's not a good idea, yeah, and when to just let it go and move on to the next thing, versus this is a good idea. It's going to be really hard, but I should keep doing this, and this is something that I can make happen.
Yeah, this reminds me of an article I wrote recently on our blog of the best, I think it's called The Best Reasons to Quit.
I've pointed a lot of people to that, by the way.
People love quitting, it turns out. yeah, but it's okay to decide this idea is not good or this idea is not good for right now. But what that will take you to is, okay, so now think of a better idea, you know, that is practical and that is doable, and stop talking, saying that you're going to start this thing that you're not actually going to start. It's like the weed out phase, I guess.
Yeah.
But even if it's not perfect, you can get something down on paper, figure out a general plan or a general overview of how it's going to go. And then I think that's when you can move on to step three.
Yeah. Which is finish the first draft on a deadline. And it's going to suck. And that's the best news is when you do your first draft of it, it's going to suck. And that's just the reality. But you have something now to work with. And I feel like for me, especially, the writing phase is the most difficult part. It's the editing phase that's so much easier because you have something to work with.
Yeah. I mean, you could maybe make an argument there, but definitely when you're first starting, the first draft is the hardest phase because you just feel like it's a disaster. I was, we've been writing these screenplays, and on finishing a first draft of one I was doing a first draft for, the analogy came to mind of being told to finish the first draft of something is like being told to park a car without brakes. It just feels like it's not put together, but you've got to get it into some kind of form. It's like gathering clay to sculpt. You know, you can't compare it to the final product of something else. You can only just try to do the best you can to gather all the elements, put them down, and then say, here's something. You know, Ernest Hemingway has that famous quote. We try not to curse on the podcast, but he said the first draft of everything is crap, basically.
Yeah.
And it's true. You know, you can't get through a first draft of something and think this is my masterpiece. And if you do think it's your masterpiece, you're probably a novice that has an untrained eye for, you know, greatness.
Well, and we just did this. I honestly think it's just kind of natural to feel this way because you and I both completed drafts of separate scripts recently. And we both finished it and we were both kind of like, it's great. Like, I think we both said, like, this isn't great. You know, but in our heads, we were kind of like, but I think it probably is, you know, and then you read mine and you're like, it's got a long way to go. And I was like, yeah, you're right. And I read yours and I was like, no, it's pretty good. But then after a couple weeks, like we just looked at it again, and it was like, oh, it's got a long way to go too. Yeah. And it's because there is this phase where it's like you finished it. And so just the accomplishment of finishing, yes, a draft of a script is like, that's a huge deal, and you want to celebrate that, and you don't even really want to consider the reality that it's not good yet. And I remember finishing, I remember feeling like that when we wrote Believe Me. I remember feeling that when we finished shooting Believe Me. It was like, this is going to be amazing because I feel so accomplished right now just for having shot it. And then just finishing the first edit of Believe Me, I was just like, it's so great. But it's not that it was great yet. It was just, I had just accomplished the next step.
You have to separate the pride of accomplishment, which is a real thing. It's, yeah, okay to be proud of, you know, finishing a step, but you have to separate that from the process of edit, you know, revisions and feedback and all that stuff, because that no one cares about that but you.
Yeah.
No one watching your movie is thinking, man, I bet the director put a lot of hours into editing this. No one cares about that.
Yeah, no.
You know, it's only you, and that's fine. Take that, apply it to you only. And be okay with, you know, your work not being good at the first draft, because it's not going to be.
Yeah. Well, and I just want to validate the accomplishment for a second, because when you do finish up, like, any movie that gets finished is a miracle. There are so many people and so many steps and so many hours and a time spent on a movie that it's just a miracle that any movie ever gets finished. And so I hate watching a movie and saying like, that just sucked and I'm moving on with my life, because there is somebody behind that movie that labored on it and loved that film for years probably to make it happen. And so I can appreciate their accomplishment while also saying, but your movie sucks.
The other part of that step three, finish the first draft on a deadline. The deadline is key there. The deadline's key throughout really the process of finishing, but specifically on that first draft one, you really can set a time where it's like, you can tell your friends or someone you can be accountable to, I'm going to give this to you to prove that I accomplished my goal on this date. And you know, in our experience, if you don't set a deadline, it probably ain't going to get done, because you're probably never going to be happy with it. And like we said, it doesn't have to be perfect. In fact, it's okay if it's terrible, but if you give yourself I have to finish this first draft by then, you will, I don't know, double, triple your odds of actually doing it.
Yeah. So let's move on. So once you've completed the first draft on a deadline, you got to edit it and you got to start making it good. And this is a long process.
Yes. I think the worse your first draft is, the more intimidating and challenging it is to think, how am I going to actually edit this? It's like being told, you know, we'll look at film. If you've got terrible footage and someone says, edit this into a great movie, it's like, what? How? You know, to revise a terrible 100-page script is a pretty tall order. But to rewrite one scene, I can do that.
Yeah.
You know, and I can do that by the end of the day. And say, I could check that box.
Yeah. I want to add, before we continue on with that part, is I do think it's important to spend some time in between the first draft phase and the editing phase.
Totally.
I think it takes, I actually just recently heard this from another filmmaker, but he said, I give it 2 weeks. I write a draft. I'm excited about it. I feel accomplished. And then I wait. And I wait 2 weeks to come back to it so I can look at it and really see what's working and what's not. And the parts that I was so in love with and feel accomplished by, those have gone away at this point. Mm-hmm. And now I can really decipher, is it good? And figure out what I need to work on.
I've heard of a number of artists, writers, who part of their process on editing is they'll go through the latest document and they will just delete everything that's not working. And, you know, look at like, what are the beats that I'm trying to accomplish here? But they'll delete the current version and then just rewrite it. There's this one professor at the University of Texas. I've never met the guy, but I've talked to one of his students and he has them actually write papers and turn them in. And then he instructs them to delete the copy of the paper on their computer. And then he throws them all in the trash and then says, rewrite it. And what he's educating them on is the process that when you have to rewrite something, it's pretty inevitable that your next draft will be more concise and more focused because you've already kind of like worked out all the ideas in your head. But that's difficult as an artist because like you said, it's a big accomplishment just to finish one draft and it's very time consuming to finish something. So it feels painful. You know, that there's that phrase, kill your darlings. It feels painful. You're thinking, I spent 30 hours on that scene or that whatever. I can't throw it in the trash, but the truth is that's a sunk cost.
Yeah.
And if it's not working, it's not working. And most likely your second attempt or third attempt or whatever is going to be better than what you had before. So it wasn't wasted time. It was necessary to get you to this point where now you can make a better go at it.
Yeah.
So in between these drafts, this is kind of, we're calling it step five, but really it's back and forth between step four and five is that you need to get feedback on your work. I think you want to get feedback as soon as you sense that inevitable feeling that you're too close to something to have an accurate idea of what it is. Like you talked about, take some time to step away from it. I think it's also important to get fresh eyes and fresh eyes from a trusted source. You don't want to ask, you know, just your buddy who's your buddy. Ask a writer if you're doing writing. Ask another artist, another graphic designer if you're doing graphic design, or another editor if you're doing editing. Because they will be able to offer you not just critiques, but like solutions to the problems. Because it's frustrating to only hear critiques and never know, well, what do you want me to do with that?
Yeah. You know? And I think a part of that too is just understand how to take feedback and take criticism, because if you just start defending everything, and I'm talking mostly from a writing standpoint, if you just start defending everything and saying, no, that you're wrong, what you're talking about is on this page right here, well, if they have a problem with it, it's probably because you weren't clear enough. And maybe mm-hmm. something that you think is clear on the page just isn't to other people. And you need to, you know, really flesh that out and make it clear on the page. And I think that's the toughest part as a creative, is you want to say like, no, don't you get it? It's this way that I see it, but they don't see it the way you see it.
That's so huge, because you need to remember, I mean, you need to constantly ask yourself, who am I making this for? Why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Right? Because it's not for a school assignment where you have a rubric and you have to check all these boxes and someone says, this box isn't checked. And you can say, yes, I did on page 4 in this line of dialogue. That's not what you're doing. You're making something for an audience to be entertained or inspired or moved or whatever. And if it's not doing that, you are failing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and you need to be willing to admit that. No one's questioning, I mean, hopefully no one's questioning your motives or your intentions behind it. They're just questioning whether the solutions you chose are working or not. And if they're confused, they're not working. If they're bored, they're not working. And it's on you as the artist to say, I need to find a way to communicate this feeling better, or there's no point in me making this. Because it's not for you, it's for other people. Otherwise, the idea could just live in your head forever. Yep. No one would care.
Yep. So after the feedback stage, which this process of editing, getting feedback, that will go on as long as it needs to. And I think you'll find that you're ready to move on when generally everyone that you can reach out to tends to get on board with the thing that it is about.
Let me quick pause, real interject before we move on to the next thing. Yeah. I would say an important part of what you're saying with going through multiple rounds of revision is that you don't waste all your first looks early.
Yeah.
So like we probably have, what, 5 trusted writers that we can send stuff to and trust their feedback that's coming back. If we send all of them our first draft, well, they'll never get another first look at it.
Yeah.
So we need to be careful. Usually it's smart to send like one person, like your second draft that you know needs some work, but like, you know, you're generally okay with it.
Right.
And then maybe you send a couple more people your like fourth or fifth draft, and then you send it to everyone again, like when you're like, I think this is pretty good. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
But the issue you're going to come up against is they're going to have all the baggage of the first thing they read wrapped up when you're doing revisions and saying, does this work better? They'll be like, I miss the thunderstorm or, you know, and so you don't want to have all that, you know, clouding their judgment.
Yep. It's good. So once you feel confident, you can move on. You need to set the final deadline, and you need to know when you're close. You need to have something in striking distance to say, this is done. And this is, the time to move forward and to put it out there and to start preparing yourself to do that. Because if you don't, you will just keep working on it and you will never finish. And this is a real issue, because I think, especially for scripts, it's like, I never want it to be done. I want to always keep working on it because it's like my baby, you know? And I'm always afraid that there's more I can be working on with it. But I don't want to write a script for 5 years. So you do have to know when it's time to keep, to call it finished.
Yeah. And I think the key there is that you set the deadline when it's almost finished. You know what I mean? Once you can say it's almost finished, then you should set a deadline. You know, maybe it's like a month or 2 months out.
Mm.
And that could be a public deadline. Maybe it should be a public deadline. It should at least be some sort of accountability partners or someone that can actually hold you to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you won't be able to keep saying, it's almost done. It's almost done. It's like, dude, you've been saying it's almost done. When are you going to finish it?
Yeah.
Tell me that date. And if it's not finished by then, I'm going to come to your house and smash the hard drive on the floor and you'll lose all your work. You know, something like that to get you serious about it. Cause it's like you're saying, you'll work on it forever. If you don't have some compulsive back yourself into a corner and make it happen.
And that brings us to the last step, which is,
oh, is that
I don't know. Yeah, I was going to try to just toss that up for you like a softball.
You teed it up, and I hit the tee, and then the ball just fell to the floor.
Yeah, we could probably get it, though. Ready? That leads us to the next step, which is...
Let it go, let it go.
You actually have a decent voice, and it makes me mad when you just sing jokingly, because I can't even sing like that seriously. Michael won a lip sync contest singing Usher on a cruise.
It wasn't a lip sync, it was karaoke.
Oh, I'm sorry, Michael. I don't replay that event every night.
Oh, touche.
The last step is let it go. And this is the point where you realize, you know, this little project, this baby infant project, 6 pounds, 7 ounce project, it's grown up and it's an adult. And it's not perfect and certainly got some flaws, but I'm ready to put it out there.
Yeah, I mean, this is after your release happens, you will inevitably almost always be disappointed with the results because you put so much time and energy into it. You can't help but dream of, you know, winning an Oscar or making millions of dollars or whatever it is. You need to have a sense of satisfaction that you've published it and put it out there and you've done the work, and that whoever it is supposed to resonate with and inspire and relate to, they are going to do that, you know, and you need to not worry about the people that don't understand it or don't relate to it.
It's very difficult to tell people when it is to let it go. But you have to let it go. And some artists will finish something and they'll put it out there and they'll know, I could have done more. And if I just had 2 more months of editing or more money to finish it. And that's a horrible feeling, to feel like you didn't give it your all, especially if you've been spending so much time on it. But in the film industry, at least, there are people above you that have deadlines on you for a reason, because that is how much money they can afford to spend on it, or that is how much time they can afford to put towards it. And you have to honor that, and you have to finish when they say to finish. And so know when that deadline is. Get the most important things finished if you are coming up against a deadline that you're having to rush and work from the top to the bottom. But at the end of the day, like, you do have to feel confident and good about what you're putting out there, or else it kind of stains the whole process, and you don't want that feeling.
I remember listening to a Q&A with Paul McCartney. He was speaking at some college somewhere, and this guy was talking about his body of work and just how many great songs he wrote with John Lennon in like the 60s. And he was like, how did you guys, you know, put out so much material? And most of it was amazing. How did you do so much? And he was like, you just have to not worry about it so much. I don't know how to do Paul McCartney. He said, you don't have to worry about it so much. And you have to accept that some songs will be your best songs and other songs will be your worst songs. That's inevitable. It doesn't matter how good you are at anything.
Yeah.
If you've done one thing, that is your best thing and your worst thing. If you've done two things, one will be your best and one will be your worst.
Yeah.
And the more you do, the easier it gets to let stuff go, because you know what you're capable of.
Yeah.
And you don't have to wrestle with that insecurity of like, this doesn't represent everything that I am and everything that I'm capable of. You get comfortable knowing this is not you. This is a piece of art that you made and you did your best with, and there will be more of those.
Yeah.
You know, if you're listening to this, if you're an artist or you have any creative aspirations to go pursue something, I just really challenge you, go do it. You can do it. It will be really difficult, but you can do it. If you follow these steps, you will finish something and it won't be perfect. But you'll be proud of it, and we'll be proud of you. And we want you to send us stuff that you finish. RiotStudios.com/contact. Let us look at it, give you feedback if you want it, or just say, hey, way to go.
Well, I think that's important, too, is maybe it is not the thing, but maybe it does lead to the thing that mm-hmm. is great, that people respond to and just say, that is amazing. And the process is the exact same for the project that isn't going to be great and for the project that just kills. So if you can learn that process, then it's going to help you.
Will, this episode was everything I hoped it would be.
Was it? Yes.
We're getting close to finishing the episode, and I can say it wasn't as bad as I thought.
Hey, we got to mention your karaoke days, so I'm excited about that.
We'll see if that makes the final cut. Will, where can people go online to find out more about Riot Studios?
They can go to riotstudios.com. But Michael, let's get down to it. Where would we be without our sponsors?
At the edge of a plank, Blackbeard behind us, sharks below us, and the rescue choppers 5 minutes behind.
Oh my gosh. I thought I knew where that was going until the rescue choppers part. That makes it so much darker. This episode is brought to you by LimeWire. Download all your favorite hits on the radio and on cassettes straight to your computer, to your DOS Macintosh.
None of our listeners under age 24 have any idea what we're talking about.
That's true. LimeWire's like Morpheus. Now they know.
Morpheus.
It's like Kazaa. Now they understand.
Which one came first? Kazaa. Hey, thanks for listening.
I'm Will Backey.
I'm Michael B. Allen. Thank you.
Bye.